$399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
A new study from the Mercatus Center says the main reason that teens are having a difficult time finding jobs over the summer is due to the fact that many states are raising the minimum wage. Now, as minimum wage hikes continue to occur, employers are looking for applicants who have more experience rather than that 16-year-old who's hoping to land his or her first job. Larry Winget is a pit bull of personal development. He joins Fox News and says it's rather unfortunate this is the road employers are having to go down because teens are able to learn so much from that first job.
It is a tough situation, but the nice thing is that you learn once you have the job, you learn a little respect for having a job, I believe. And I think one of the opportunities here is for kids to learn what it takes to get a job, then what it takes to keep that job, what it takes to keep your boss happy, how to serve customers. All of those things make you a better human being. And I think that's the real value here. Plus, the feeling that you have internally for your self-esteem, that you're not going to be judged based on how many likes you get on your cell phone, on your social media pages, but you're going to be judged based on how hard you work right, and are rewarded for that work, and then the freedom that comes from spending that money you earned.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1957 when National League owners unanimously vote to allow the New York Giants to become the San Francisco Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers to become the Los Angeles Dodgers. Please remember, you can find us on USARadio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Ooh-rah! I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thanks for joining us. This week is Memorial Day, and we salute in reverence and awe all those who died in military service while protecting and defending our great country. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force Vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
On this solemn weekend, I have just three words to share. No, they're not rest in peace. They are never forget. Amen.
Thanks, Josh. And Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby is looking incredibly patriotic today. What's going on in your life, Roland?
No, Skip, I'm just really enjoying springtime, finally. It makes me even more patriotic. I know that sounds silly, right? But, you know, you got Memorial Day, which is important. Then you're going to the 4th of July, right? I mean, it's a patriotic season when we end kind of that summer season. Oh, wait, that's not...
Let's enjoy it while we can. Let's savor it, Roland. We're going to savor it. And I feel more patriotic, too, when it's 70 degrees.
Roger that, Skip.
Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Noncom, I'm going to discuss American warriors being sent to prison for doing their jobs in combat, then make a plea to President Trump. Retired General Dana Atkins, the CEO of Military Officers Association of America, will discuss the meaning of Memorial Day. We'll also get an important update on the imprisonment of Army First Lieutenant Clinton Lawrence with former Army JAG David Bolgiano. And then we'll discuss some good shooting techniques with a team from Center Shot Gun Range.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And we'd really appreciate it if you'd also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for a free e-newsletter. And of course, join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, as you know, on each show we honor a deceased military person, not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, but they do have to have served honorably on active duty or in the guard or reserves. The colonel is out of vets to honor. So to nominate someone, send him about 250 words summarizing his or her service. and then the colonel will read it on the show. Send the info to Denny at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news. What's first, Josh?
Two U.S. warships have sailed through the Taiwan Strait in an apparent show of force for the government of the self-ruled island, which China claims as its own. Taiwan's defense ministry said in a statement, the ships passed through from south to north without incident, adding they were free to sail in the Taiwan Strait. Last month, China complained about a French ship's passage through the strait, said that it had expressed concerns to the U.S. side. Defense Ministry spokesman Liu Kang said at a news conference, quote, according to information learnt from the relevant department, China followed closely the passage of the U.S. warships through the Taiwan Strait, and we are fully aware of the whole process. We urge the U.S. to properly deal with Taiwan-related issues with caution, so as to avoid further negative impacts to China-U.S. relations and peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait, end quote. China maintains a more ambiguous sea boundary than defined by international treaty, and has asserted a claim to virtually the entire South China Sea, which is contiguous with the Taiwan Strait and where several governments have competing claims. China has boosted its military threat against Taiwan, with President Xi Jinping saying this year that Beijing would not rule out using force. John Walker Lind, the Californian who took up arms for the Taliban and was captured by invading U.S. forces in Afghanistan in 2001, got out of prison on Thursday after more than 17 years. He was released under tight restrictions that reflected government fears he still harbors radical views. Lind, now age 38, left a federal penitentiary in Terre Haute, Indiana, after getting roughly 3 years' time off for good behavior from the 20-year sentence he received upon pleading guilty to providing support to the Taliban. It was not immediately clear where the man known as the American Taliban will live or what he will do. In a Fox News interview, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo condemned his early release as unexplainable and unconscionable and called for a review of prison system policies. Lind's release was also opposed by the family of CIA officer Mike Spann, who was killed during an uprising of Taliban prisoners shortly after interrogating Lind in Afghanistan. Under restrictions imposed by a federal judge in Alexandria, Virginia, Lind's internet devices must have monitoring software, his online communications must be conducted in English, he must undergo mental health counseling, he is forbidden to possess or view extremist material, and he cannot hold a passport or leave the United States. FBI counterterrorism officials work with federal prison authorities to determine what risk a soon-to-be-released inmate might pose. Probation officers never explained why they sought the restrictions against Lind, but it's clear that authorities still have misgivings about him. U.S. officials say the Pentagon will soon present plans to the White House to send up to 10,000 more troops to the Middle East, in a move to beef up defenses against potential Iranian threats. The officials said no final decision has been made yet, and it's not clear if the White House would approve sending all or just some of the requested forces. Officials said the move is not in response to any new threat from Iran, but is aimed at reinforcing security in the region. They said the troops would be defensive forces, and the discussions include additional Patriot missile batteries, more ships, and increased efforts to monitor Iran. This meeting comes as tensions with Iran continue to simmer. Any move to deploy more forces to the Middle East would signal a shift for President Trump, who has repeatedly emphasized the need to reduce America's troop presence in the region. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Trump was evaluating the force posture in the region every day. As Congress and the Defense Department move to improve housing conditions for troops and military families, an advocacy group has released more details on the state of military homes, from those who reside in them. According to a Military Family Advisory Network survey, more than 16,000 military family members reported dirty and unsafe conditions on more than 160 military bases. A preliminary report on the survey released in February had shown dissatisfaction with the private companies that built and manage on-base housing, as well as widespread problems in the homes, from maintenance issues and responsiveness to unhealthy and dangerous living conditions, such as mold, chipping lead-based paint, pest infestations, and faulty wiring. New details from the survey show that 93% of respondents lived in homes managed by just six private companies, and 84% of tenants had very negative, or neutral experience in base housing, with those who said their feelings were neutral providing largely negative feedback regarding repairs and remediation, mold, dirty homes on move-in day, and shoddy construction. Thousands of tons of American steel sailed along the Hudson River on Wednesday as the 31st annual Fleet Week kicked off on the waterways of New York City. The parade of ships began around 7 a.m. with Navy vessels passing under the Verrazano Bridge to make their way into New York Harbor and up the Hudson as far north as the George Washington Bridge. They were greeted by the salute to ships, a ceremonial 11-gun salute, and a flyover by a Coast Guard search and rescue plane. Nearly 3,000 members of the Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard are expected in the city as part of the week-long affair, which ends on May 28th. They came in cutters, destroyers, and patrol boats, from the Lawrence Lawson Sentinel-class Coast Guard cutter from Cape May to the USS Milwaukee, a combat ship from Mayport, Florida. Also among them was the USS New York, an amphibious transport rendered with 7.5 tons of steel recovered from the wreckage of the World Trade Center. Ships were and are open for tours in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Staten Island through Tuesday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And that's the news. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel coming up on Frontlines of Freedom. I'll share comments by the non-com, and then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. And then we'll meet with Dana Atkins, CEO of the Military Officers Association of America. At ease, troops, take a break.
As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash and our MDV Military Division are committed to supporting our military heroes and honoring those who have made the ultimate sacrifice to defend our nation.
At Spartan Nash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it is our privilege to serve those who served at our more than 155 company-owned grocery stores and independent retail locations on Memorial Day and throughout the year.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised four teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m. doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honoring Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors. Honor and remember, our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the non-com. We live in a very dangerous world. Thank God for the U.S. military. If not for American military assets all over the world, then this little blue planet would be a really nasty place to live. After all, ever since World War II, it has been American fighting personnel who've borne the brunt of keeping the people of this planet safe, free, and able to raise their children while sleeping soundly at night. But what would the world look like without the U.S. military? The liberal media and anti-American politicians would have you believe that America is the cause of most of the ills in the world. But we all know better than that. We fight for freedom, not just American freedom, but freedom across the globe. The American fighting men and women have shed their own blood for many decades now in altruistic fashion, under deplorable conditions, with nary a thank you. And many of our fellow countrymen have paid the supreme cost for the safety and freedom of people they've never met, for people not yet born. Why do they do it? The average person really doesn't know why, and some would argue that neither do they care. But I don't believe that. I believe that most Americans, in their heart of hearts, in the deep conviction of their souls, they know the truth. Without the American warrior, this world would be deeply and profoundly foobar. Later in the show, we'll be speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Bo Bolgiano. Bo is on the defense team for 1st Lieutenant Clinton Lawrence. Lawrence was a platoon leader in the 82nd Airborne Division serving in Afghanistan, who fought and killed the enemy in combat. But then the strangest thing happened. Clinton Lawrence was court-martialed and convicted of murder for killing that very enemy. He volunteered to fight terrorism. He trained. He sacrificed. He followed the rules of engagement, and then, when attacked by the enemies of his nation, he used deadly force to protect his men and the interest of his country. First Lieutenant Clinton Lawrence is being branded as a murderer, as a fiend, as a bloodthirsty criminal who wants to take innocent life. There's only one problem with that. It's a lie. But here's the truth. Clinton Lawrence was railroaded by a few politically minded and incompetent politicians and politically correct military officers aided and abetted by their woefully incompetent judge advocates. And even now, when the evidence and facts are coming to light, they are doubling down in their efforts to keep the lieutenant in prison. They've ruined this man's life, a patriot, a hero, and for that, they should burn in hell 1,000 times over. There is no room for this type of cowardly politics in the military. The world cannot afford it. We are always just a razor's edge away from slavery, and it's only the American military warrior who stands in the gap, shoulder to shoulder, like sentinels, guarding against tyranny with the weapons of virtue and courage. This weekend is Memorial Day. Lieutenant Lawrence is a combat leader and hero. He may not have lost his life's blood in combat, but he has lost his freedom, his career, and unfettered access to his family and the ones he loves. That in itself is a living death, a pain he experiences every second of every day. This travesty of justice cannot stand if America is to remain great. President Trump, we at Frontlines of Freedom ask you to overturn the conviction and sentence of 1st Lieutenant Lawrence. Not just pardon him, but overturn his court-martial and return this fine man to active duty. He wants this, and it's the only thing that will make him whole. For over 200 years, American parents have sacrificed their children to keep the world free. How many mothers have been recited these words while being handed a folded American flag? on behalf of the President of the United States and a grateful nation, please accept this flag as a symbol of our appreciation for your loved one's honorable and faithful service. American parents will continue to sacrifice their children for a just cause, for a grateful nation. However, this abomination of justice being perpetrated on Lieutenant Lawrence is anything but grateful. President Trump, do the right thing. Overturn the Lawrence conviction and go one step further in making America great again. And those are my comments. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Next, we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
You know, Skip, Senator Martha McSally, an Arizona Republican on the Armed Services Committee and retired Air Force attack pilot, is pushing legislation to focus on criminalizing sexual harassment in the ranks and ensure that each military base has a lawyer who advocates for the victim. During a Senate hearing in March, McSally revealed that she had been raped by a superior officer and that she felt re-victimized by Air Force officials who questioned her about it. She has gone on to push the military to establish a task force charged with recommending substantial changes to the way that the military combats sexual assault. Recently, the Pentagon announced an estimated 20,500 troops have been sexually assaulted in 2018 alone. It's a 38% increase compared with 2016. McSally's proposed legislation would criminalize sexual harassment. Currently, troops can be prosecuted for sexual harassment under the part of the military law that governs good order and discipline. Her recommendation is to make it a specific crime. According to military task force, the risk of assault increases when sexual harassment is tolerated. She feels that it's a great idea to separate and specifically criminalize sexual harassment. It shows a commitment of saying, we're not going to tolerate this. It also allows us to track those who have had any kind of punishment related to sexual harassment, which is potentially an early sign of somebody who has behavior that's on what they call the continuum of harm. Another recommendation to be included in her legislation would assign lawyers known as special victims counsels to every military base. Those lawyers will advocate on the victim's behalf, and having one at each installation would allow the lawyer to be on hand as soon as a report is made. McSally's acknowledgement that she herself was a victim of sexual assault in the military generated intense media interest in the attention of Air Force officials. She granted a few interviews, but for the most part has kept a low profile and has not revealed the name of her assailant or where the attack occurred. Her firsthand experience, she said, gives her a unique perspective in the Senate. This is not the only legislation working its way through the system. Congressman Brian Mast, an Army veteran, has also introduced legislation that would allow Congress to intervene in legal cases on behalf of a military member who has been sexually assaulted. The Florida Republican introduced what is called Harmony's Law, which is named after Harmony Allen, who was raped by an instructor just 3 months after joining the U.S. Air Force in 2000. Her assailant was found guilty in 2017 and was sentenced to 16 years in prison. However, his conviction was overturned under a ruling by a U.S. military appeals court stating that this new 5-year statute of limitations also applies to assaults which occurred before 2006. To be fair, I don't think that sexual assault in the military is on the rise. Instead, I think it's movements like the Me Too movement that are empowering a much higher rate of reporting assaults. If I'm right, then not only is sexual assault a big problem, it's been a problem for many years. The military needs to take this issue seriously and look for new ways to combat this problem. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Skip.
Thanks, Roland. Awesome job as always. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, retired General Dana Atkins, the CEO of Military Officers Association of America, will discuss the meaning of Memorial Day. All this is coming up. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back, troops. It's time for planks. Let's do 3 minutes each and do 10. Then stand at ease.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HealthFit.net for all your family's needs.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Severe weather from the Midwest and Great Plains is now stretching into the Ohio Valley and Mid-Atlantic region, bringing lots of rain, hail, tornadoes. Steve Owen has been volunteering to help people in Trotwood, Ohio, affected by the tornadoes since Monday night.
That fire station on Little Richmond Road sent us out to do medic calls because they didn't have enough people. We went up in Trotwood into a neighborhood trying to help out with following the police department, trying to get to houses where people were hurt.
Owens was speaking there on Fox News. President Trump's four-day visit to Japan is over. The president is expected to land here stateside right after 2:30 Eastern time. While in Japan, the president was able to discuss trade with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. After laying low on the Memorial Day weekend, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden is in Houston for his first town hall. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Lou Manfredini here, and this House Smarts Minute is brought to you by HomeAdvisor, helping homeowners find and hire the right pro for their projects. When vents become clogged or fans stop working, summer heat and humidity become trapped in your attic. This can cause your air conditioner to work harder, damage your roof shingles by overheating, and cause mold and mildew to form in the attic. The best way to clean them is with blasts of compressed air to blow away dust, dirt, and any loose insulation. More information at HouseSmartsTV.com. And now this.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. HomeAdvisor can help get you started. HomeAdvisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. HomeAdvisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show Lieutenant General Dana Atkins, U.S. Air Force retired. He's the President and CEO of the Military Officers Association of America. I'm a life member of MOA, and I really appreciate what they do for our military. I thought there'd be no better person to discuss Memorial Day than General Atkins. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, General.
Colonel Gillum, thanks a lot for having me on the show.
Start by telling us about your career in the Air Force. Why did you pick the Air Force? Why did you decide to join? What were some of your favorite assignments?
Yeah, Danny, first of all, I came right out of high school. I had always viewed myself as going to college. I grew up in a very, I would call it, blue-collar family. My parents, who I absolutely loved, I believe they loved me as well, really didn't have the resources to help me go to school. And so at the time, the GI Bill was enticing to me. This was in 1972. As you know, making a decision to go into the military in 1972 certainly wasn't popular with your peers. But the notion of getting, you know, a full ride to a university via the GI Bill was appealing to me. So I enlisted in the Air Force in 1972, right out of high school. I was very fortunate within 1 year to receive a scholarship from the Air Force to go back to university. I went back to the University of Portland in Oregon and got a four-year baccalaureate degree. Part of that scholarship was ROTC. So I was involved in Air Force ROTC during those 4 years. Following graduation, and certainly when I went into college, I viewed myself coming out as a doctor. I had always medical and being a physician had some appeal to me. But I was introduced to flying while I was in the ROTC program and quite frankly fell in love with the prospect of being a pilot in the Air Force. And I was fortunate. We had two seniors who graduated in my class in ROTC from University of Portland, who were afforded an opportunity to go to pilot training. So I went to pilot training. I had to wait a year. As you know, that was the drawdown of the Vietnam era days. So the training capacity was restricted. So I kind of stayed out for about a year after graduation and then went to pilot training. And I went to pilot training in 1978, graduating in class 7905. That's May of 79. My first assignment out of pilot training was to be a what they call a FAIP, F-A-I-P, First Assignment Instructor Pilot. So I stayed at Reese Air Force Base in Lubbock, Texas, which was my first assignment as a T-38 instructor pilot, where I flew the T-38 in that instructor capacity for about 3 years. And then I got my very first operational assignment. And you, having come from the military, will appreciate that. I was an A-10 pilot for 5 years, and all 5 years was in Europe. I flew 3 years at RAF Bentwaters in the United Kingdom, and then 2 years in Germany. But most of the flying was obviously NATO-related in Europe for those 5 years. And then I was fortunate, again, to get selected to go fly with the United States Air Force Thunderbirds. So I did a transition from the A-10 to the F-16 in 1987, and then flew show seasons 1988 and 89 as a Thunderbird pilot. I was the left wingman for the Thunderbirds for those 2 years. And then I had just operational assignments after that with breaks, obviously, in ops to go to school or staff assignments. But then I was fortunate to be a wing commander twice. I was the wing commander at the 20th Fighter Wing at Shaw Air Force Base in Sumter, South Carolina, and also the wing commander at the 35th Fighter Wing in Misawa Air Base in Japan. Following that, I was the vice commander of 7th Air Force in South Korea. And then I went on to be the PACOM J3, that's the Director of Operations for the Pacific Command stationed in Hawaii. And then I culminated a 35-year career in the military as the 11th Air Force Commander and Alaskan Commander stationed out of Elmendorf Air Force Base in Alaska.
Well, it sounds like you weren't bored.
No, not bored at all. You know, and I keep saying I was fortunate and, you know, and honored and whatever it is for these assignments, but like you, and you remember, much of your success isn't really based in your individual performance. It's the people that you had the opportunity to work with and for. And I was one of those, I think, very, very lucky individuals who was always surrounded by talent, you know, certainly talent well above my own.
Amen, sir. There's no doubt about that. This is Colonel Dana Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're about to discuss Memorial Day, General Dana Atkins. So let's talk Memorial Day. Dana, this is a very special day. And sometimes it's just seen as a three-day weekend, and we really need it to be more than that.
Right.
Talk to us about it.
Right. You know, I have the same sentiment that I maybe just heard in your voice, Denny, and that is often our nation sees Memorial Day as, you know, that start of summer and bring the family together, have a big barbecue, make sure that the pool's all cleaned and, you know, you got the pollen off the deck and whatever it takes. But, you know, the reality, that's really our national day of remembrance, and people forget that. Or the other thing that disappoints me is people confuse Memorial Day with Veterans Day, which are two distinct, again, celebrations of sacrifice and military service. But yeah, Memorial Day for me is important. I think Memorial Day, particularly for someone who serves and has lost, you know, a brother in arms, it becomes even more impactful. You know, and for me, that was really in 2011, and it seems like a long way into my military career for something, you know, that significant to happen. But I had a remarkable executive officer, Major David Brodeur. I had flown with him for 3 consecutive years. He was my assigned instructor pilot when I was in Alaska flying with the aggressor squadron. And I got to know David very personally, and I actually hired him as my XO, direct hired him as my XO when I served as the Alaskan commander. David had only been with me for really a few short months when he got a deployment to Afghanistan, and he went off to Afghanistan in this temporary deployment. And, you know, I don't think he was on that deployment more than 30 days. And I got that ugly phone call. And that's the phone call on April 27th of 2011 that notified me that David had been killed in Afghanistan. And David was one of 10 who were in a operation center in Kabul, Afghanistan, when a rogue Afghan colonel had walked in and summarily killed 10 individuals in that operation center. And what was, I guess, really impactful for me and my wife, Laura, was that we had promised David, we had brought his family down to our home, his wife, Susie, and his 2 children, Elizabeth and David Jr. And we had promised them that we would, in fact, take care of his family while he was deployed. And I didn't recognize that promise was a promise that would be enduring for life. That, you know, it's pretty impactful. But I really mean, you know, this day of remembrance, we all have friends and acquaintances and brothers and sisters in arms who we know have given the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. And so Memorial Day becomes very, very important to me personally and certainly to my family collectively.
You know, Dana, I tell people I'm a rough, tough airborne ranger and I never cry, but sometimes my eyes sweat. and your story about your XO made my eyes sweat. That's what we need to do. We need to understand that Memorial Day is a day of remembering. As well intended as it is, have a happy Memorial Day. It doesn't ring the right bell. This is a day to remember. You can have a happy day, but it's not a happy Memorial Day.
Danny, the other thing, too, is, and you may have seen this on you know, kind of media release, but they're releasing the movie Saving Private Ryan. Again, they're releasing it, you know, kind of in concert with the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
Yeah.
I remember in 1998 when that movie was first released, my wife and my family, when my kids were probably middle school, high school age at the time, we were stationed at SHAPE headquarters at Mons in Belgium. And so we would go up to Brussels for the movies. There was a theater in Brussels called the Canopolis. And we went to the Canopolis because you could see movies in English language. They weren't in French or something like that. And so we had gone up to see the movie Saving Private Ryan. And we left the movie and we went to go get our car. And our car was in a parking garage. And you had to go through a kind of a long spiral walkway to get to the parking garage. And as we're walking through this spiral to the parking garage, the people that are around us are obviously commenting on the movie. And somebody in close proximity to me and my family said, you know, I can't imagine today's soldiers giving that level of sacrifice like we just saw. And that really upset me. And I turned around and my wife knew that I was going to say something that was probably going to be offensive here. But I looked at this person and I said, do you really believe that? Do you believe that our nation's sons and daughters today aren't as courageous as what you just saw in that movie? Because quite frankly, I'm going to tell you, they are. You may not see the movie or you may not have witnessed to the heroic acts that our nation's sons and daughters are doing, but they're doing it all over the globe and they're doing it every day. And for some reason, when I saw that advertisement about Saving Private Ryan, again, it just reminded me of sometimes our nation's, I wouldn't call it reluctance, but certainly antipathy to kind of understand what our service members are really giving and sacrificing day in and day out.
And are prepared to do.
While they're having,
yes, sir.
While they're having their barbecue.
Yes. There's more to discuss about Memorial Day troops, and General Atkins will stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. And take a break. We stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. Online on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
I started going cold turkey, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
Do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Dana Atkins, the CEO of the Military Officers Association of America. Our topic's Memorial Day. Dana, we've talked about things that have happened to us that impact on Memorial Day. What are some of the appropriate ways that communities, individual people, whether or not they're veteran families, can celebrate or act on Memorial Day?
Well, you know, I mean, we're very fortunate. You know, I'm here in Washington, D.C., and one of the things that we like to get involved in is wreath laying. You know, there's national cemeteries across our nation, in every state, veteran cemeteries that are certainly our communities can go out, and if they don't do something, I mean, they could do something as simple as beautify that cemetery, but laying wreaths, and I say there's a national effort to lay wreaths at veteran cemeteries across the nation. So we're very fortunate to have access to Arlington National Cemetery, which my wife and I hope to participate again in this year as well, too. You know, and the other part is I always ask our veterans who are remarkably proud and humble to share their stories. There's a unique divide right now, I think, and I believe others believe that as well, too, between the military and certainly the communities that we're hosted in. And I think just sharing the stories of, you know, what you do and did and have seen and certainly those that you have loved and lost is a good way to help, you know, kind of transition through this day of remembrance as well, too. And then, you know, I think to just be informed, I'm you know, we all hear this day in and day out, but I think something less than 1% of our civilian population, national population, has served in uniform or will serve in uniform. So I think it's incumbent on that 99% that remains to be informed about what their military is doing in all branches of service. You know, and one of the things that NOAA is so proud of is that we represent all uniform services. That means National Oceanographic and the public health as well as the uniform services that we're very, very familiar with. So I think just educating yourself is important as well. Then I think what are some don'ts like this? There's been a little bit of kind of resistance for people, you know, when somebody comes up and says, thank you for your service, because sometimes it seems disingenuous. It's almost like it's a bumper sticker when somebody says, you know, if you identify yourself as a veteran or somebody who's in the military, thank you for your service. And I think our national population has to figure that admiration and certainly that respect in a different way than just that token comment. And lastly, don't let this day of remembrance go unnoticed. Don't let it just be about the barbecue, just about the swimming pool or getting to the beach. Make sure that you take, and it doesn't have to take a long time. You know, some people say, hey, just take a resolution to spend 1 minute, 60 seconds, and think about, you know, what your nation's military and those who have served have done for our freedoms. And I think those are kind of my top do's and don'ts, Denny.
You know, that makes a great deal of sense. We don't have to do a lot. Many communities have parades. Go to the parade. If that doesn't have a parade, suggest they have a parade. And if there isn't anything in your community or you're off on an isolated someplace vacation, exactly what you said, take a few minutes as a family and just acknowledge what has happened. If you can build that as a family tradition, the kids will do it as they start their families, and we'll have that ingrained appreciation and patriotism, which is what our nation desperately, desperately needs. Does that make sense to you?
It does, absolutely. You know, we certainly have identified a single day of the year as Memorial Day, but, you know, Memorial Day can be any day. I mean, in my sense, I mean, it can be any day. I just got notified. I grew up in Oregon, and Oregon had the longest living Medal of Honor recipient, Robert Maxwell. He just passed away. In fact, I just got done drafting a letter to his family, having been grown up in Oregon and then knew of Bob Maxwell and his exploits in World War II, and to recognize he was 98 years old when he passed away, but again, the longest living Medal of Honor recipient. But you can have that day of remembrance outside of, you know, the official Memorial Day as well.
Yeah, it's never inappropriate to say thank you for your service to a veteran. It's never inappropriate to remember those who have suffered and died. Never inappropriate to thank somebody presently serving. But there are special days, and it does show sensitivity to acknowledge those days. Last weekend was Armed Forces Day, where we celebrate those still wearing a uniform. November, we have Veterans Day. We celebrate those, like you and I, who are still alive but not in uniform. It shows a little sensitivity there, but it's never inappropriate to be grateful. I think that's a safe statement. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're talking with MOA CEO General Dana Atkins. Dana, I'd like you to talk a little bit about MOA. How did you find out about them? How did you get involved? And what specifically does MOA do?
Well, Dan, I've been a life member for many years. And really one of the very first reasons that I ever even heard about MOA was a time when my kids were approaching going off to college. And MOA has a very, very proud 70-plus year reputation of a scholarship program to help educate the children of military members. And it's agnostic. I mean, you can be enlisted or you can be a commissioned officer, but MOA's intent is to help educate the youth of military members. And so they've been doing that for 70-plus years. This past year, we gave out nearly $10 million of education assistance to about 1,400 students, and we're trying to grow that. I mean, we've been fortunate that our scholarship fund has grown with some good investment strategies. But the other part about MOA was the fact that I recognize that I can't insulate myself, I guess, or advocate for myself independently. I needed to be part of something bigger than me. And MOA has this record of phenomenal advocacy success, and they continue to have that record. We just got recognized for the 12th year in a row by The Hill magazine here in D.C., which is a prominent political literature here in the D.C. area, as the outstanding veteran service organization lobby team in the nation. In fact, we were the only VSO recognized for that. But our mission here is to, in fact, advocate on behalf of Americans Uniformed Services, and we're doing a lot. Some of the issues that we're working on right now are military pay for our active serving military members. We're lobbying this year for 3.1% pay increase, which it looks like is in the president's budget and hopefully will be supported by Congress and the National Defense Authorization Act. We're also very concerned about veterans themselves, certainly about the health care that veterans get beyond their military, active military service. We're concerned about the families and spouses of military members. You may not know this, but military spouses are the highest unemployed segment of our nation's labor force. And so we're trying to help make sure that military spouses get the opportunity to have successful careers themselves, even though they're supporting their military members throughout the course of their career. We're involved in career transition. You know, military members who leave the military service, how do they navigate that next chapter of their career? And that's usually in the public and private sector. So we have a really strong team that's gotten national notoriety on being able to help that transitioning service member. We're involved in professional education. One of the bigger things that we've done recently was to help our service members understand the dimensions of the new blended retirement system. Danny, you and I both have an annuity from a 20-year service, but what our service members are getting today are 401-like retirement plans. And so how do you invest correctly to make sure that you maximize those benefits? And so we have some educational services.
That's amazing. Well, Dana, I wish I could let you go on, but we're out of time. However, give us the website. People that want to continue to learn more about MOA, and I'm a life member, how can they do that?
Yeah, it's pretty easy, Danny. It's MOA, MOAA.org.
Dana, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to your nation in uniform, but thank you for what you're doing now, for what MOA is doing now. I'm really proud to be a member, and I'm delighted that you could join us today.
Danny, thank you very much, and I'm proud that you would reach out to us for this special, special day.
Thank you, sir. Well, here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we get to honor this fine troop. World War II veteran Charlotte Schwid celebrated her 100th birthday on May 22nd at the Eagle River Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 9785 in Alaska. The post threw her a big party, but they've asked us to recruit folks to send her a birthday card. Yes, her birthday was last week, but it's not too late. After graduating from Riverside Hospital School of Nursing in Roanoke, Virginia in 1940, Schwid enlisted in the Army and worked in a military hospital in Tidworth, England. She took care of D-Day patients near the end of the war at a time when one nurse was assigned 200 to 300 beds at a time. If you would, send birthday cards to Schwid at the following address. Charlotte Schwid, S-C-H-W-I-D, Charlotte Schwid, S-C-H-W-I-D, 12110 Business Boulevard, 12110 Business Boulevard, Suite 6, PMB 207, Eagle River, Alaska, 99577. Eagle River, Alaska, 99577. So stand tall, Nurse Charlotte Schwid. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with former JAG David Bolgiano about getting full pardons for combat troops convicted of murder for killing the enemy. Then we'll talk about shooting with the leaders of Center Shot. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run. Run a couple of miles of wind sprints, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Having a loved one at their bedside is a huge part of the healing for our wounded, injured, and ill service members and veterans. The Fisher House provides the housing necessary for that loved one to be there. They've saved military and veterans families an estimated $407 million in out-of-pocket expenses. They also provide the Hero Miles program, using donated frequent flyer miles to bring family to the bedside of injured service members. To hear more about how you can help Fisher House and learn about the Hero Miles program, go to fisherhouse.org today.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Winston Churchill's immortal words stirred an entire country in the face of certain defeat. Today, these words give each of us the courage to reach for our own victories.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never.
Commitment. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Severe storms brought lots of rain, hail, and tornadoes to parts of the Ohio Valley, particularly around Dayton, killing at least one person. Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine credits local media for warning residents and preventing mass casualties.
When something like this happens at night, it's even more frightening. But news media did a great job covering this, giving people, you know, whatever warning they could give.
The threat for tornadoes continues from Kansas and Missouri all the way to the East Coast, with 44 million people in 14 states that could be affected by tornadoes. The Supreme Court is siding with a lower court ruling regarding Indiana's abortion law. The High Court agreed with the lower court ruling that struck down part of the law that prohibited abortion because of gender, race, or disability of the fetus, such as Down syndrome. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi. I'm Captain Obvious, and every day, thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like Becky's picture of another perfect waterfall, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Becky, it's that you hate that she's there, and you're at work listening to Lisa talk about her alleged food allergies. Don't hate like Becky's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
Tensions have increased in the region for the U.S. aircraft carrier group and the B-52 bombers in the Gulf after an Israeli retaliatory strike against Syria. USA Radio Network's John Clements has the story.
After Syrian anti-aircraft fire targeted an Israeli fighter jet on a routine flight in northern Israel, the IDF carried out a missile attack that destroyed the military vehicle. The Israeli jet was not struck and returned safely to its base. The Syrian anti-aircraft system was believed to have been operated by Iranian Hezbollah militants. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said these attacks will not be tolerated and will be met forcefully. I'm John Clemens.
The most recent person to die on Mount Everest has been identified as an attorney from Colorado. He is the 11th person to die on Everest this year and the second American to die after a Utah man died last week. Most of the deaths have been attributed to overcrowding. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A man is facing charges after going on a crime spree while wearing a Donald Trump mask. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
The man was busted early Monday near Laguna Hills, California. Police say they spotted the man who resembled President Trump from a distance, and he was slashing tires and breaking the windshield of a parked vehicle. When they got hold of the 56-year-old man, they found out he was wearing a Donald Trump mask. He was also wearing body armor. He had a loaded handgun, an airsoft shotgun, and he had a helmet. It's unclear what led to the vandalism. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hackers are finding new and creative ways to steal your information on your cell phone. One of the ways they're doing this is if you're flying over the summer, or any time for that matter, and you see a USB power charging station. Cyber criminals can modify those USB connections and install malware on your phone or download data without you even knowing it. Charles Henderson is a security expert with IBM. He joins Fox News with some tips on how you can stay safe if you're charging your phone at the airport.
You know, I recommend that you expose electrical outlets rather than USB ports. It's a much safer way to charge. It's the way you do it at home anyway, and it's just as effective for consumers.
Now, if you do insist on using a public USB port, there is something you can buy for about $10 called the Jack Juice Defender. That's a little dongle that you put on the front of your charging cord that basically blocks any data from passing down the cord. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel.